Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jesse Duplantis.
And I'm Kathy Duplantis.
Thank you for tuning in to our boardroom chat. I tell you what, we had a good one last week.
That's right.
I like the mysteries.
Every one of them are good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mystery one was really good.
Yeah. God just gave them to me as I'm walking across the parking lot or maybe right before. I mean, I said, Lord, I asked him, what are we going to talk about? I don't know. I said, okay.
And I'll leave that up to you. I'll learn the flow.
How many? This is
235.
235 original ideas from Jesse
Podcast. Glory to God. Amen.
Of God. I want to talk about something that I think everybody should have, should be, because the Bible says we can. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. This is his second letter, the epistle to the church at Corinth, the Corinthians, they call them. And verse 1 says something. And there's a reason that he says verse 1.
Right.
Verse 1 says, but I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad? The same which is made sorry by me. Notice he said something. I'm not going to come here with a heavy heart. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Who knows what's happening? You know, so many people are like that. Especially ministers, you know, they always talk about how bad it is when they ought to be talking how good it is. Out of 8 billion people, God chose you to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's a pretty good record. Think about that. Now, why wouldn't he come to them with heaviness? Look what he says in verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Notice the word always. Always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, why is that? That's not only for your own example to live for Jesus, but it's so other people can see how good it is to be born again, how good it is to walk in the glory of God, in the prosperity of God, in the healing of God, in the blessing of God, in every which way, shape, or form. Why? Because that's very important. Why do I say that? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. Your epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So somebody's looking at you. Somebody's watching you as you live for the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. So that's why I tell people, they say, he's always happy. Well, I'm not coming to you with heaviness.
Right.
I will not do that because it's going to make you sad. And it'll make me sad. I mean, I could take on the problems of the world, but I'm in the world, but not of the world. See, and that's the vast difference. So God causes me the triumph. Now, when I talk about that triumph, I get persecution over it. But I'm just being biblical. You know, if I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed going out, why would you persecute me? Why would you say something bad? Just being biblical. If I'm healed and not walking in sickness, why would you get mad about that? You see what I'm trying to say? Why? Because I can't come to you at all with heaviness whatsoever at all, because Paul has shown us a great example, because we are epistles read above all men. What are they reading about you?
Mm-hmm.
What are they saying about you? What do you think about that, what I'm talking about?
I love
about?
That. That's really a responsibility of all believers, but especially ministers.
Oh, yes, indeed.
To always be stirring up the gift of God, because when we encounter people, we should be bringing them hope. The gospel is a gospel of hope, and that's why he was telling them wouldn't be coming to them
right.
in a spirit of heaviness. Now, in the previous epistle he wrote them, brought some strong correction.
Right.
But he wanted to let them know that he saw a change,
so
he wanted to build them up. You know, if you're around people that are constantly tearing you down, you know, it's okay to receive instruction, but there has to come a point where there's a turning point in there. There's a correction, and then there's an uplifting.
Right.
The point of correction should always be to edify and build up. That's what Paul's life was known for. In fact, in another epistle, he's talked about how he came to them. He wanted to give them his own soul.
Right.
But what was inside of him was something that could build someone else up. You know, if what we have inside of us is not uplifting and building someone up, we need to go back to the cross, basically, back to in prayer and seeking God so that we can be changed. We need to have the gospel should be transforming us into people that bring good news to people, that give them an answer instead of always being critical. You know, so often there you see people in the world, and you know, they seem to get emboldened when they're on social media, wanting to attack and criticize people, but that's not helpful. Paul always, he brought correction, but in a loving way. Yes. And he found a way to lift people up as well.
It's a vast difference between correction and you know, being critical. See, correction helps you. Correction takes you to another level, you know, spiritually, physically, financially. Criticism just beats you down. Somebody just wanting to hurt you, see? So we should be living examples right above all men, because we live in epistles. Actually, we letters.
Right.
See, so people should read us.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm talking about. When you understand that, that's why you can understand verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. See, I have a responsibility to produce a responsible spirit. See, so people can see the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, just all these wonderful attributes of the Lord, which is, that's just very few of them. And I've said it so many times, I got to say it again, that the only Jesus some people may ever see is the Jesus in you or the Jesus in me. So do people say that's a man of God or that's a woman of the Lord? My, you can spot them coming from miles away. Why? Because they, what goes before them, ahead of them, is hope and blessing and honor. And honor is a gift that a man gives to himself. See, when someone honored you, it's because you decided you gave that gift to yourself to do right. So people read you and said, that's a person of honor. You see what I'm saying? And Jesus said, you know, actually in the Old Testament, if you honor me, I will honor you. And that's just such a blessing of the Lord. Now, when you understand that, then you're going to understand this. Here, let me read that verse again, verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 2. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place, so that we don't have time to be heavy or bring in heaviness. You know, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. No, you all heavy because you're not a brother. See, that's the problem, see, when you become that brother. Now, I want you to go over to, let me see here, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, are subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you see, what is eternal? The promises of God. There's over 7,000 of them, and most people know about 12 of them, if that much. You see, so I walk in the promises of God every day. That's how I got born again, through my mother's prayer. She had the promise of her family down to 1,000 generations. So how many times you've heard me say it, and how many times she said it to me personally? It's just your tough luck, Jesse the Planet. You're going to get saved whether you like it or not.
Yeah, because she didn't look at the things that we're seeing. Everything you were doing indicated, oh, it's not going to work.
It's
not going to happen. It's not changing.
You
got
to understand, as a sinner, I enjoyed sin. I was a chief of sinners. I mean, I didn't care about religion. I didn't even care about God. I was so indifferent to any of that stuff. But the promise was far greater than the problem. See, the promises of God are far more powerful than the sins of people. So comfort yourself with that word. So if you got a child that you may have raised and they've walked away, I'm going to tell you something. That promise is far more powerful than their sin. You see? So in other words, keep your head up, keep your eyes open, and watch and pray and say, God is going to cause, is causing me to triumph in everything that I do, and I thank him for it. So I will not bring heaviness to other people.
Amen.
Or even to myself. I'll not allow it to happen in my life. You see that? All the promises of God are yea and amen, which means yes and so be it. So why do you believe in healing? It's a promise. Why do you believe in salvation? It's a promise. Why do you believe in prosperity? It's a promise. Do you see what I'm going with this?
Yeah.
See, so why would I spend time criticizing prosperity when God gave me a promise of it?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I criticize and say healing's not for today when God gave me a promise
just
of
because
it?
You don't see
yeah.
immediate results?
Right.
You have to stay
right.
with it.
You got to grow. See, a child don't see when they're born. They don't see a lot of things. In fact, their eyes, they got to learn to control their eyes. They, you know, and then all of a sudden, at about 2 or 3 months or 4 months, you'll walk by, you'll see them take their little eyes and they'll follow you. Oh, something's happening here. Yeah, they recognizing that's mama. That's that voice that I heard when I was in the womb. Now, that's what that voice looks like. You see what I'm saying? And you know what? Babies are totally amazing. They can spot heaviness real quick. They'll just, you know, and boy, they'll bust out crying real quick if you get, you know, you get a little sad or something like that. But if you bring joy and happiness, that baby will smile at you. And watch that. When a baby laughs, I don't care who's in the room, it brings such joy. People go, God, look at that. It's one of the most wonderful things to hear a child laugh because they're pure and they're innocent. You see what I'm saying?
I think one of the reasons that Paul could write this way or live this way was because he was focused on the eternal. I mean, he dealt with a lot of tragedy, a lot of attacks, imprisonment, beaten, left for dead, all kinds of things that he encountered. But his eye was always on the future and in the eternal. So that's why because he was walking through it, he didn't stay in the valley.
No.
Like they say,
he walked through the valley of the shadow of death.
So he saw the prize. And we have to keep focused on what's ahead. In fact, he saw victory. He says, he had lots of tribulation. He said, but in one epistle, he says, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me.
Right.
So he saw victory. And when he did get beheaded while he was in prison, it was his choice. Because he was in prison another time and he had the church pray and he got out.
And
but he said, I'm ready to be offered. Isn't that what he said? I'm ready. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith.
I fought.
I have a crown of victory that's ahead of me. So we have an eternal promise that we need to keep focused on. And this day-to-day life really determines what we do when we get to heaven. So we need to be living by faith, building other people up, be a voice to someone that will bring hope and blessing, not always being critical of what you don't see yet.
Yeah.
Because he looked forward, and that's what you were reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. So what you're focused on, you need to be focused on your answer, even though you have a problem that's in front of you, because the way that you change that problem is by looking at what Jesus said. Think about the 10 lepers that came to Jesus that he encountered, and all of them were healed as they went. He healed them, and only one turned around and said thank you, and only one was made totally whole.
Now, what does that mean, whole?
The difference between being healed, to me, in that verse, and being whole. Maybe they were healed, the leprosy stopped, but the wholeness came with a recovery, full recovery.
Of body parts.
Whatever was missing got restored.
That's correct.
Right? Do you think that?
I got it. I love that.
I believe that.
I mean, it's just such a blessing of the Lord, see? So we have a responsibility to anyone that sees us, hears us, walks with us, that we are a living epistle read above all men. Now, watch this. That doesn't mean trouble don't come. And I tell you what, I think the church world, and I don't mean to be critical of the churches being truthful, have become experts on affliction. Lord, they never finish a verse. You know what I'm saying? Look what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The church world made it a lifetime. Paul made it a moment. So why do you want to live a lifetime of nobody knows the trouble I've seen and all that craziness? You see what I'm saying? Yes, we have affliction, but it's light affliction. And this man is in jail, and they're going to kill him, and he's writing encouraging letters to Timothy. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he's not moved by the surroundings that's around him. He's moved by what he knows is true in his heart. Our light affliction. People say, Jesse, the planet's never had any trouble. Yeah, I have trouble, but I consider it light, and I only look at it for a moment. I don't make it a lifetime. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's God's word in every area of my life. See, so I just made up my mind because of this promise that by his stripes I'm healed, so when something tries to attach it to my body or whatever, I go, oh, no, wrong person. Jesus took my infirmity. Why would I want it? He bore my sickness. Why should I have it? And the devil says, you're not this and you're not that. No, you're the one got kicked out of heaven. I'm the one got put into heaven. You see what I'm saying? You just swap those things around. You see what I'm saying? And because he'll try to give you a light of affliction. What's that scripture in the Psalms about? He said, but Redemption Come in the Morning or something. If you can find that for me, it's a powerful, powerful verse. So when you understand all this persecution that I've been, I mean, I've been royally persecuted. Me and Kenneth Copeland have been slammed hard, you know. We're best of friends. That's not the issue. But it doesn't make any difference because we read the end of the book. And to us, it's a light affliction. And it's only for a moment. But my salvation, my promises that God has given me is for a lifetime.
Yeah, it's in Psalms 30.
Read that.
And it says, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, so I'm the redeemed of the Lord. That's Psalms 107, verse 2. I should be saying so. At the time that that was wrote, there was no one redeemed like we are today. Yet God was calling those things that be not as though they were till they are. You see what I'm saying? See, but so people just don't seem to understand that all God wants to do is be a blessing to you in every which way, shape, and form. Why? Because he's a father and you a child that grows to the fullness of the stature of Christ. That's what Paul said. He was very important that I don't come to you with heaviness, because I thank God that I'm gonna manifest blessing all the days of my life. Mm. I stand in the victory of the Lord.
Yeah,
but you're in jail, man. They're going to kill you. Who cares? If they do, I'm just going to come back. That's what I like with Jesus. He said, you kill me, I'll be back in 3 days. That's
Amen.
Exactly the truth. That's exactly what happened. You ought to comfort yourself with those words.
Yeah.
You see, so when you understand that, well, how do you know it? The promises of God. There's one thing God can't do. He can't lie.
Right.
Now, you can lie. I can lie. And I guess everybody in this studio has probably lied some way, shape, or form somewhere, whatever. And people say, well, it's a little white lie. I don't think lies got color on them. A lie's a lie. Just that simple. You know what I'm saying? But when you understand what God is saying here, so it is my responsibility, because I have a responsible spirit, to not be like this.
Right.
I don't know what I'm going to do. If you don't help me today financially, we're going off the air. All that crazy stuff.
Listen to the
good Lord.
The rest of that psalm.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was reading
I'm
down
to it. While you,
yeah, but it's so good. It just
read
continues
it.
On. And verse 10 goes on to say, because we were in Psalm 30 and we read about how weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. That was verse 5. But verse 10 says, hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. So it's a prayer. Verse 11 goes on to say, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness.
Glory to God.
To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So that's a heart
thanks
of praise,
forever?
Thanking God forever.
Oh, I
so
like that.
So even though they're enduring something, they see the answer. And we need to keep focused on that, not just for ourselves, but others that may be going through
Amen.
A difficult time, those that are facing hardship.
That's right.
Instead of having them just give up in despair, we need to be giving them answers and hope, because the gospel is a gospel of hope.
Well, he said he's going to cause us to triumph.
That's it.
Now,
Amen.
Don't get mad if somebody's triumphing. They enjoy it. You know, may say, well, my God, how do you keep like that? Well, that affliction you're talking about is just for a moment, but you've turned it into a lifetime. Now, switch it back to a moment. It'll get over with, and you're going about your business. Just
right.
Literally that simple.
Right.
We had something happen to us last night. I didn't even tell Kathy. I was flying, and to make a long story short, I flew all the way to Illinois and had a wonderful service. The Lord just truly blessed. Great church
there.
Anyway, to make a long story short, was it last night or the night before last?
It was last week.
Yeah, because this is being taped.
Yeah.
Now watch this. I got on the plane. Everything was fine. All of a sudden, a light comes on, in the cockpit. No go. I never heard that word before. No go. So we call one of our mechanics. Because we can't fly the plane when that thing is saying no-go. So, well, we're going to spend the night? What are we going to do? The mechanic said, plane is a computer. Shut everything off. Everything. Disconnect the batteries. Shut everything off. No electricity or whatever it is going through that. So that took about maybe 5-7 minutes. I was changing, getting out of my clothes and stuff like that, because you get soaking wet when you preach a lot of time. All of a sudden, he said, now, Brother Jesse, it's going to get pitch black dark. But I had the window shades up, so all the lights went out. But the window shades, so I could see lights, so I changed my clothes, you know, hung it up, blah, blah, this and that. All of a sudden, boom, the lights come on. And then they call booting it up. They start booting up the
reboot.
Plane.
Reboot.
Reboot, whatever you call it. Now, why is it? So I'm just waiting for them to say, and that thing was just a misnomer. It just picked up something. I don't know. Maybe there was a surge or something like that. Boom, no problem at all. Started the engine, boom, boom, and we flew home at 601 miles an hour. We were smoking. Praise God, hallelujah. And that, I'm telling
you,
it was almost.
We really, you weren't on fire.
What's that?
Literally, that
yeah.
was, everything was good.
Everything was good. But you see, now what? Well, the mechanic knew what to do. The pilots knew what to do. Watch this. Jesse, the planners knew what to do. I didn't get heavy. I didn't get mad. I didn't say, oh, no, what I'm going to do. It was a delay, but not a stop.
You know what it is? It just technically, you know, when you do all these devices, people know. I know before I even call in the IT person, I'll do it first. I'll unplug. I'll turn everything off and then restart it before a call, because many times it'll restart and fix the problem. So spiritually speaking, when things happen, sometimes you just need to unplug, move away from it, step back and listen to the inward spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and direction about what's the next thing, how you should pray, instead of just launching out without taking that step back. When you do that, then you'll be able to have the right answer at the right time. And the Holy Spirit will help you to say the words that need to be said from your heart, and then you'll connect with God by faith, and things will begin to change and turn around. You'll begin, hope will begin to rise again in your heart that, yes, it doesn't matter what happened.
What you're saying right there is a responsible spirit.
That's good. I love that
you
phrase.
Say your yeah. spirit, that's responsible. You're giving answers instead of problems.
Yeah, instead of just shooting your mouth off or launching out into fear, whatever thought comes into your head, maybe you're repeating something someone else said. No, you go inward, you listen to the voice of the Spirit, basically unplug from what the world is saying, unplug from what the problem is screaming, and say, Lord, show me what's going on here. How should I pray? And then you connect with heaven, and then now you're on the right track to
Praise
victory.
God.
You're walking towards triumph instead of tragedy.
Well, you know, I refuse to be discouraged, despondent.
Amen.
I refuse. Why? It's going to hurt you, people that love my ministry. You never hear me say, oh, we're in such financial trouble. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't fought us financially. But you know why I haven't had a financial deficit? Well, number one, I didn't believe for it. Number two, I didn't look at it. When I was building this ministry, all these buildings here, me and the Lord had a conversation. And it was just a very simple conversation, because this cost millions and millions of dollars. He said, now, Jesse, how would you like for me to pay for this? I could pay it off, pay cash. I can pay it by the month, what you want me to do. And I said this, well, since we're talking, let's just knock this puppy out. We'll just pay cash for it. He said, then we will never discuss finances again concerning the building of these buildings and projects. And we built for 4 solid years. I'm talking every day. Now, I wanted to go look at that building fund, but I did not look at it for 4 years. Why? He said we would not discuss it. And I was just happy, and things were just working. That didn't mean sometimes a truck might be late with some material. That didn't make no difference. We knew it was still coming. Sometimes it rained and we had to, get off the roofs because, you know, lightness up. But we waited till it stopped raining and got back up there. All the different things began to happen. And I never forget our contract. He said, boy, you just never get discouraged. I said, well, and you never worry. I said, would it help? No. I said, well, if it doesn't help, why do that? It's a waste of energy and a waste of time. See, I was doing what the Apostle Paul said. I didn't bring no heaviness. And then I thank God that he always caused me to triumph in everything. And those were just light afflictions, but for a moment, but we didn't make them a lifetime. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's the same thing with finance. And I wish some ministers would understand that. Because you're saying God can't handle your need and if people don't do something, we ain't going to make it. Well, yes, we know. Listen, we know God uses people. But the reality of it all, it comes from God Almighty. I've had some people say, I don't see how you go to some of the places you go because it costs millions a month to run your ministry. And that church can't pay your budget. I don't deal with a budget. I have one. That's called good business. Budgets cost you something. Vision brings you something. See, I rely on God Almighty because I know God will speak to people, which is my partners who help me to finance this ministry, including I'm a partner at the Jesse the Planet's Ministries. Are you giving to yourself? No, I'm not. All you got to do is ask the IRS about that. There's a vast difference between Jesse the Planet, look at me, and Jesse the Planet's Ministries. Whole nother ball game. So I want to thank all my partners in advance for all that you do for us. I just can't thank you enough. And you never go a day without prayer. Me and Kathy pray for you. And you see, and when we pray strong prayer for you, that you'd be blessed in the city, in the field, going in, going out, that health would be a part of your life and your family in every which way, shape, or form. And the anointing of increase is on me. I had a wonderful testimony 2 days ago. I prayed for a man that was in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and I seen him. He was at the church when I just preached here in Illinois. He said, everything you said, I called him, came to pass, and God's blessed him beyond his wildest dreams. And I looked at him like I'm looking at you, and I said, well, I expected that.
Mm-hmm.
The anointing of increase is on me. When you become a partner to this ministry, you listen to me. It may not happen overnight, but you're going to get blessed.
Mm-hmm.
It's on me and Kathy. It is on me. And I ask the Lord, and none of it that you give comes to me. I give that to the work of the Lord. So if you'd like to partner with our ministry, if you'd like to give something today, boy, give it. It's just a great gift. I just love doing it. You can go to our website, jdm.org, and you can hit the donate button if you want to. You can use PayPal if you like, that financial thing. Or you can text to give a one-time donation or a recurring one if you want. Or you can do the JDM apps and select the giving you want. Or you can mail in a check to Jesse the Planet's Ministries here. And I tell you one thing, 100% of what you're giving is going on, and you can expect to be blessed. Expectation. You know, when a woman is pregnant, and they tell her she's pregnant, they used to say they killed a rabbit or whatever they call that way back when, you know, you couldn't tell she was pregnant. She sure didn't look pregnant. But as time went, she began to grow. And what began to grow? The seed turning into a harvest in her womb.
Mm.
All of a sudden, that woman that had a flat belly, all of a sudden, here it begins to come out to make room for the harvest because the seed was sown. That's what will happen if you give today. You'll sow a seed. It will develop into a harvest. You'll begin to grow. It is a blessing of God. I know that's a pretty simple analogy, but it's just the truth. I hope you do that. I feel out of the Lord to tell you to do that so you can be blessed.
Yes.
I want you blessed. I want you to get a check when you get your check wherever you work and you look at it and go, what am I going to do with this? Because you're debt-free, bills paid, things are doing wonderful. You might want to take your wife out to dinner. I don't know, might take a bunch of friends out to dinner. Or go on holiday. Some people, in Europe, they call it holiday. In America, we call it vacation. Same thing, you know. It's just such a blessing. So would you consider doing that? You've been watching us. I just want you blessed. We get so many people, my God, that writer said, I'm so blessed. So many people come to Covenant Church, came broke as a junkyard dog, and they go, I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. I'm out of debt. I'm doing good. My business took off. I said, well, it's the anointing of increase that's on us.
Yeah, and you know what, too? It's also a daily or regular diet of healthy eating, healthy feasting on the Word of God.
On the Word of God.
Some people, they're malnourished, spiritually speaking,
right,
because they may get a feast once a year, but when you regularly eat healthy, your body begins to recover. Spiritually speaking, it's so true as well. And, you know, I was reading, because this whole concept of heaviness that we started with was so strong on you. And so I looked up this word heaviness, and I found Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. Stoop, which means go down, heaviness. It said, but a good word maketh glad.
I like that.
So we have a good word. So not only, I believe, when you give, you become a partner, you're going to be blessed, but you're going to have the joy of knowing you're helping, getting this message out to people all over the world, and their lives will be uplifted.
Amen.
And changed as well. And, you know, that was what was so important about following the life of Paul. He, of course, says, follow me as I follow Christ. I believe Jesus was always uplifting everywhere that he went. That's why the children wanted to
Amen.
Be around him.
That's right.
People wanted to be around the common people. The religious people didn't like it because they were jealous. I think
right.
it was Pilate that said it was because of envy that they crucified him. But we need to be imitators of that and always have a message of hope, even if it's one that, not saying that you have rose-colored glasses, you don't see the problem, but you may see the problem, but you always have an answer. Paul
Amen.
Always talked to his followers.
Amen.
I mean, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 20. I want to go to that, Jesse, before
okay,
we
while
leave.
Okay, while you turn to Ephesians chapter 20, when you come to Covenant Church, I'll tell you something about Kathy. When she preaches the gospel, she don't give you a diet meal, two little peas, you know, and a piece of celery. You know, Kathy cooks a whole Christmas dinner. I mean, she'll take you all the way through, and myself also. We give you a revelation. And people go, man, I learned something today. Hey, yeah. Why? You were spiritually nourished. You come out, you go, whew, Lord, that was good.
Jesus said,
yeah.
My words are spirit and they are life.
Amen.
We need the word of God to grow. But this is what one of the things that Paul said. His mind, his focus was always on building people up. And then he didn't just go alone.
Amen.
He enlisted the prayers of others. So I hope that y'all praying for us to do all that God's called us to
Amen.
Do. We have a responsibility
yes.
to fulfill what God's called us to do. And verse 8, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Now, this is at the end of the whole list of putting on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
People don't list this last verse, verse 18, when they think about the armor of God. But I think it's an essential part of the whole armor,
okay.
which says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then verse 9, he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. So he's writing from prison even then, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
See,
so he knew he had a responsibility to speak boldly no matter what his circumstances were, because there were people that would live their life or model their life after what he was saying and doing. We have a responsibility
Amen.
To the next generation, to the people
yeah.
that God has placed in our lives to bring them hope, to keep them on track. We do have an enemy that's always warring,
right.
trying to pull us off track. That's why it's important that we surround ourselves with people of like precious faith that will
mm-hmm.
keep us moving forward. And this is what motivates us to do these chats every
Amen.
Week, to do all the other programs that we do.
You are reading him as an epistle.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
Read
saying?
Read above all men.
That's right. That's
his
exactly,
life,
you just
his life
what
was a
said.
Living epistle.
Yeah.
And he's encouraging them to do the same. And then I want to go to Colossians chapter 4, which says the same thing. And it's chapter 4. And I want to begin reading in verse 2. He says, continue in prayer. Again, he's enlisting them.
Amen.
Remember the value of prayer, the corporate prayer, the
Amen.
United prayer. He says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds, that
Ooh,
I may
Lord.
Make it manifest. And then he says, as I ought to speak. So the way that we ought to speak is important. We have a responsibility to have a responsible spirit
preaching
that... Them. gives out hope, the hope of the gospel. That's
Amen.
The answer the whole world needs.
Yeah.
The whole world is looking for hope.
Yes,
and we
indeed.
Have that hope residing within us. So like the Psalm said, Proverbs said, I think it was Psalms or Proverbs.
So say it, the
I
Psalm.
Will not keep silent. I cannot keep silent.
Amen.
Because what's in me is screaming to cry out and bring hope to those that God has placed.
Well, even Jeremiah said that. I'm in this pit. And I wasn't going to say nothing no more.
Because every time I speak, they throw me in jail, yeah. But he says, but I could not contain it because it was like a fire within me and it
yes,
could
indeed.
Not be contained.
Ooh,
when God has imparted a message into your heart, like he's done for us and everyone here at this ministry, we are compelled to give it out. And,
yes.
and we believe that
Amen.
God is transforming your life today, that you're not watching this by any accident, that God wants to give you hope for whatever situation
Amen.
You're in. And because God is a God of peace and love and strength, and he came to give us life and that more abundantly.
And you know, faith always brings its little brother, hope. Now, faith is the substance of things
hope for, the evidence of things not seen. There's that not seen again.
Not seen stuff.
We look not at the things that are seen, but we look at the things that are seen, which is eternal.
Yeah.
We look at that eternal thing. That's the thing that's...
And I got you stirred up today, son.
That eternal thing, the Word of God stirred me up.
But Paul said...
You too.
Paul said an effectual door has been opened.
Oh, and he always loved those doors.
Love them doors.
It's a door of utterance, he called it. It's an open...
Amen.
Pathway.
What a blessing of the Lord. Well, I hope you enjoyed today. I mean, I think I got Kathy all shook up here, and that's good. We just enjoyed it because it's so true. Remember, someone will be reading you today. What will they read?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that you are a living epistle read above all men. And once again, partners, thank you. Help us. I'm going to look you right in the face and say, I need you so we can complete this destiny and get to the destination that God wants you to go, and He wants us to go. Till next week, Jesse and Kathy saying we love you. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.